always do this though. Just like, hey, welcome to in-game chat. I'm Scott.
I'm Scott. Blah, blah, blah. I totally didn't notice you there. Come on in.
Hey, good buddy.
Have a seat now.
How you doing there, fella?
That's really creepy.
What?
I don't know. Like, you can offer me a treat. and ask me to step into your conversion van.
Do you like some ice cream? Yeah. Ice cream man.
Did either of you guys bother trying to... Did anybody even try getting into Quake Live?
No, not after I read all the...
I tried.
I'm the 40,000th person in line.
I was like the 80,000th person. You're the 80,000th. And then I would have to go leave and, like, you know, throw up for a while. And then I would sort of come back when I thought that, like, my nausea had subsided to a point where I could stand, you know, some video gaming.
And you were 79,999. Well,
then I would get, like, to another state of being in the...
the queue?
I was going to say, like, it appears to be this very simple process. It's a deceptively simple process. It's like three steps.
Yeah.
But each of those steps is 80,000 people tall.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, that's how it worked for me. So I didn't actually get a chance to play it. I was very disappointed in that. I will soon because I'm interested in it, but I don't know. So I was very curious to see if that would work.
No, I did not.
Or how it would work.
I didn't try.
Yeah.
I did not try at all. I heard too much about it, and I was just like, "Yeah,
I heard.
Basically, I was like, maybe one of the other guys.
The queue. I didn't hear anything about the damn game.
That's because nobody I know is actually playing the damn thing. Once they saw the queue, they're like, "I'll do this later when the queue's gone down." Yeah. It hasn't.
Yeah, they are. It's goddamn nubbins again on the fucking.
It's pro, goddamn it! It's got to be pro.
I didn't know all you had to do was add, like, you know,
nubbins?
A pair of little nubbins to like an otherwise stupid controller, and it was all of a sudden like professional.
No, it's all of a sudden resellable.
Right.
It's like, wait a second, we can repackage this. And those people will buy it. I don't necessarily. I don't know.
I don't know, dude. Maybe it's like a fancy Recaro seat for your, you know, Eurosport coupe or something. Like, you got this classic controller, and you know, apparently you're just not able to tool around a Smash Brothers map quite the same if you don't have anything to do with your ring finger and pinky finger. You know,
so you have to wrap it around.
I mean, maybe that's it. Hell if I know. I don't really know what to tell you.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in it. I don't have a lot of interest in playing.
I've got my Wavebirds, so I've never messed around with it.
Yeah,
Wavebirds are pretty great.
Yeah.
They're not quite as great as they used to be, obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, but they were certainly badass.
They were awesome. How many times were we sitting there playing in our lounge? You're not going to throw up there, are you?
I was worried about it. I might have to leave and throw up at some point, so
that's,
you know,
awesome.
Don't be concerned.
I'll dude, we got the trash can in here. We can record the sound.
No, you don't really want to do that. That's pretty awful.
Curse, blat.
I could live blog the content for you, though.
You could Twitter it.
Twitter it from the back.
Twitter the content. That's totally what I was doing when I was throwing up, though. I was like, because my symptoms were so completely horrible and like so very backwards from most sick I've ever had, and this was at a point when I hadn't quite figured out that it was like food poisoning. Not that food poisoning is a real thing necessarily, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I was like, every time I would throw up, I would like start, you know, I would start
digging around,
fucking archaeology, you know, digging around through the thing. You know, I'd had a sifter and a little brush. No, I'm just being like,
you're an old miner.
Oh, Jesus God, what is that? Okay, that's a chicken nugget. I totally thought I was like throwing a blood clot until I realized it was like the little, you know, when you fry an egg, like the bottom of the egg sometimes gets a little bit crisp. It's like, holy shit, what is that? I just threw a part of my stomach. Oh, no, that's an egg. Okay. You know, and
with that,
and it was really, you know, it was really helpful stratification. I didn't expect it to work quite like that. It went, you know, all the way back to that was like the last thing I threw up. It was the first thing I had eaten in that order, and I was like, well,
so there was a timeline.
Obviously, you know, I understand the progression of what's going on here. I didn't throw up after that. Obviously, the egg was to blame. I mean, I don't know. Because I just washed it down the
Can we start talking about dick again? I'd rather talk about...
No.
Welcome to In-Game Chat. Thanks. For Thursday, February 26, 2009. We are the official podcast of ColonyGamers.com. You can check us out there at the forums or hit us up at InGameChat.net or email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We got the full crew here. Almost didn't, as you can tell from the conversation we just had.
Yeah, we missed a day. We didn't record Tuesday like we
were. Which is really awful.
James was really sick.
We're totally off balance, and, you know, we've missed, like, a ton of stuff.
Yeah, so. Which means we're backed up on a ton of things. I don't know how long this episode's going to be. Probably not long.
It can't go very long because I, like, totally have to go back and lay down. I've had two bowls of cream of wheat and, like, some slices of kiwi.
What's that look like coming back?
No, that's fine. I'm saying that's all I've been able to eat in the last 3 days, which has not amounted to a whole lot of calories. So.
You're very tired.
I don't know what the hell I'm saying half the time.
That's going to be different from normal, though.
And that is
most
James,
times it's very
by the way.
If I say something completely asinine, I'd probably regret it. But I said it on purpose.
That's James, and Jeremy is here with us as well.
Yeah, that's me. I'm Jeremy.
You wouldn't know if you were in the studio, what with us apparently...
They wore the same shirt today.
Oh, not even on purpose.
All right. So last week, we didn't say anything about this, but last week come in, I'm like, hey, man. Check out my new desktop, and it's like, you know, this link to the past, rendered thing.
Well, which you may have seen, it was a DeviantArt set. It was a set of works of, like,
did a bunch of different games.
Renderings of, like, scenes from our different games. And Jeremy was like...
There was like a dozen of them or so.
Yeah. And
like,
Jeremy, we were getting set up for the show, and Jeremy, like, gets that look on his face, like, I want to show you something, and I'm like, great, a picture of his kid.
I know better than to show that to you.
Yeah, right. And he, like, because I'd just be like, yeah, tell her to give me my biscuit.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, that's
the end joke.
And he, like, turns his laptop around, and it's this, you know, sort of like, it's basically this artistic rendering of the first scene when Link walks out of his house.
And it's raining.
Link to the past.
Yeah.
It's that first shot, looking down at the isometric point of view, and he's like, yeah, look at this, it's awesome. And I was like, yeah. And I turn my laptop around.
And he's got the same,
and I get the same, same desktop. The same thing.
So fast forward to...
A week later.
About an hour ago.
Yeah.
And I pull up and get out of the car and walk over there. And
well, what's weird is when James pulled up, I made reference to the shirt. I actually made a reference to the shirt. I was like, hey, you're wearing the shirt I got you from San Francisco or wherever.
Yeah, it's the Kane and Lynch shirt, which is about 100 times better than the game.
Yeah.
The shirt is awesome.
The shirt's pretty awesome. So, obviously, you know where the story's going. I'm wearing the same shirt.
He pulls out
and I walk up there, and I look at him, and I'm like, really? First the desktop, now this? And I was like, oh, how cute. You guys are wearing the same shirt. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll have a kid now.
Let's see. What's gone on since last we did a show? I went and reserved my DSi.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good.
In black.
Black.
Yes.
Oh, come on. You didn't want to get the crazy, like...
No, that blue.
The crazy non-blue?
I would totally get the blue one.
Of course you would. Which
I got the pink one, so...
It's the lightish red.
Yeah. I mean, that's the craziest blue I've ever seen. I love it.
Yeah. So I went and reserved my DSi, and I played some Street Fighter 4. We did not get a chance to get together and play some Street Fighter 4, but I played some of it on a Sunday night for about 2 hours and then put it in its envelope and sent it back to GameFly.
That's perfectly fine. It's
just fine with me. That's not to say I didn't like it.
I'm trying to remember, like, what the hell was going on there. I was supposed to be doing all sorts of stuff earlier in the weekend that, then I'd be feel free to, like, come play a Street Fighter. And I didn't do that. I didn't get to those things that I wanted to get to until Sunday. Well, I was basically playing Dawn of War.
Yeah.
On Sunday. Put a little bit of the Total War beta.
Oh, yeah, demo. Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to what you played after we talk about what I played. And we need to get
what
Jeremy's.
What did you play, Scott?
What else did I play? I played the Hawks demo, which is now on PS3, if you guys are interested, for those of you who just have a PS3. The Hawks demo's out there. I like it. They force you to play in the third person. No, what the fuck is that? You're playing in third. It's like a dynamic camera thing. It's very strange.
Okay.
Normally, when you're playing, you know, fighters, you're behind the plane, obviously. Mm-hmm. That
unless you're a real flight sim person.
And go cockpit, yeah. But then they switch. That's the assisted mode.
Okay.
When you turn assistance off,
yeah,
the camera takes a very wide shot of the plane from, like, the side. It's very strange. When you're in dogfights, though, it's much better to maneuver and, like, find your bearings of where the fuck you're at.
Okay.
In relation to the guy you're going after. It took a while for me to understand that, though. For the longest time, I'm sitting there playing, you know, not knowing what the fuck I'm doing. But I did like it, and there's a leveling system. Fuck you people for putting leveling systems in your games. It makes me want to play it more. It does, because I'm like, if I get to the next level, I'll unlock another plane. I'll get to play, because I can't remember what the first plane was, but you unlock the Harrier jet once you get to level 2. And so I got to play around with that, which had better maneuverability, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. So, you know, interested in picking it up as a rental, not as a buy, never was, but as a rental. So played that. Played Street Fighter 4, like I said. It's going to hit me like that all the time. Didn't like it because I just don't like fighters, but, you know, it's there, and we'll get your idea of that, Jeremy, in just a second. I played some more Burnout, and I played Nobi Nobi Boy.
All right.
If you have an extra $5 sitting somewhere, and I know times is tough, and so you may not have an extra $5 sitting somewhere, but if you got an extra $5 to spare, buy the game. Buy it. It's crazy shit.
All right.
It is crazy. Dude, seriously.
Like, how crazy?
Do you remember the first time you played Katamari? And you're watching this shit, and you're going, God, this is fucked up. You're going to get the same reaction.
All right.
Play on Nobi Nobi. The thing about Nobi Nobi Boy is, like, your guy stretches over whatever land you've decided to load up. Actually, it randomly loads up different... They're not really levels. It's just a space to play in.
Okay.
And it randomly loads these things up, and you play, and you stretch your guy out really far, ever how many meters and that sort of thing. So then, when you... At any point you want to, you can report... Boy's length to the sun, which is like a lion looking down a hole in the earth. isn't this great? Report his length to the sun, which sends the information to Girl. Girl sits on top of the earth and stretches just out into space. All the players are reporting their lengths of how far they're stretching Boy into Girl, and she stretches by everybody's report. So about, was it Monday? No, it was Tuesday. Game came out on Thursday. At Tuesday, Girl reached the moon. The actual length, the distance.
How is this... Like, what the hell unit of Boy stretch translates into, like, what kind of increment of Girl stretch?
If I stretch Boy 1,000...
You're going to give me a shitty answer.
Yes. If I stretch Boy 1,000 meters, that 1,000 meters goes to Girl, and she stretches 1,000 meters.
Okay, so there's, like, some sort of, like, realistic demarcation of, like, actual space in the game.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of landscape are you dealing with in this game?
Oh, don't start.
Well, obviously, it can be divided into meters, so start there.
I mean, the landscape is randomly generated. You go into Boy's house, and which is, again, weird, and you have an option of...
You haven't done enough drugs, because you're not doing a very good job at explaining this to me.
You go into Boy... It's true. That's totally true. That is exactly true. You go into Boy's house, you get
somebody
an option
who's
of...
smoked, you know, at least a little bit... Call me up and tell me what this is really like. I'll totally feel you. That's all.
Send us an email, yeah. You go into Boy's House, you get the option of quit game. This is why I'm saying, if you got $5 to spare, play this, because it sure is a hell of a lot better than what I'm telling you. You can either quit the game or change the map. If you change the map shrinks to the size of the house, and then it opens back up with a brand new landscape.
Okay.
That's it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, they cleared everything up.
So,
I'll
yeah.
spend the $5 to get
So where is the gameplay involved in stretching the guy? Like, what's the challenge?
You just stretch him.
You just,
That's
like,
it.
Point, click, and stretch.
You just stretch him. You can have him eat shit if you want to, and he can poop it out.
What?
I'm not kidding you. If you eat stuff, he gets bigger. So if you continue to eat things, you can eat bigger things in the on the landscape.
Right. So when he gets bigger, does that mean that there's more of him to stretch and can therefore be stretched further?
No. He can stretch. He can be stretched at any. He can be stretched any length, any time. Doesn't matter how big he is.
All right. So why can't I go ahead and stretch him? Say, you know,
you can
240,000 miles.
You can.
Well, why the fuck did it take 5 days for Chick to get to the moon? Then why didn't somebody just up and stretch their boy a quarter of a million miles so he could already be at the moon?
I think they tried. I don't know, dude.
Well, then obviously they failed, which means you couldn't do it, which means you don't know what you're talking about.
You can check the stats of other players. So go... No, seriously. When you get this, go to girl, check the first person who's in first, who's at the head of girl, and see how long they are.
You said...
Who's on first?
You said that, like, everybody who stretches their boy... gets their length, irrespective, apparently, of girth, uploaded to girl.
Yes.
Via the Sun Lion. Right? Which is okay, because I've had that dream.
Yes.
Okay.
I wish you people would play more of these freak-out games that I buy. None of you have played Flower, I'm sure.
No.
But boy, that was easier to explain than this.
I'm kind of with Jeremy, like, where's the gameplay in this? Because it might be hidden, but it's got to be there.
I don't know.
Because, like, if you can stretch your dude to arbitrary lengths to begin with, then I think somebody out there would already be stretching him to arbitrary lengths, and that just makes no sense. Because then girl would be arbitrarily long. You know, this is how I'm reading what you're saying. So my point is, like, where are the constraints and the limitations? Not that, you know, I'm asking for a review or anything. I'm just trying
That's
to
That's tough,
out.
Because, I mean, just me sitting there, I can stretch boy to, like, 2,000 meters and probably just continue to go further. It's a very... It's a slow pace that you sit there and stretch.
Right.
There's a video on YouTube of somebody who found the word escapes me now, but I know what it is. Not necessarily a glitch, but a... What's the shit when you can do a workaround?
Exploit,
that's it. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, where the hell? So I found an exploit that you can use to continually stretch boy. He doesn't actually, on screen, he's not actually stretching, but because of the exploit, you can look at your numbers of how far you've stretched him, and it just continues
to go up. Wait, stop right there.
What?
An exploit where you can continually stretch boy. What stops you from continually stretching them anyway? Because from your description, you're like, nothing stops you, just keep stretching them.
So. No, you could seriously continue to do that. It's your.
So what's the difference between what you can do and what the exploit allows you to do?
The exploit allows you to stretch them infinitely. It's just at a point that you want to stop and report that.
He's getting worse about this.
No, I'm not. I'm really trying. I'm trying very hard to explain this.
I know you. I know.
You can stretch him as far as you want to. It's your willingness to put in the time to hold the controller in place.
It's time. Time is what it takes to stretch
out. Your own time. Your own time.
That's what I'm saying. It's time is the constraint.
It's your ability to sit there, hold the controller in that same position to stretch him out, and just sit there and let it do it.
So the exploit means you don't have to sit there and hold it.
No, the exploit...
This is the last swing we're taking at this.
Yes. The exploit requires you to hold it in a certain position, but not the normal one that you do to stretch him.
An easier way to
Yes.
hold it.
And the other thing, here's the other thing. Boy can break in half.
So there's a risk.
There is, because the landscape is only so big. Once you stretch beyond that, then...
It's like you're testifying before fucking Congress or something.
Yeah, it's really
I'm
tough.
I'm asking you for like a simple thing. Like, did you know cigarettes were addictive? Well, they cost $4. You know, like, that's the kind of answer I'm getting from you.
Oh, God damn it, buy the game.
You know what? This is like...
You'd have come over Sunday, you'd know this shit.
This is a bullshit trick.
If you'd have come over Sunday, you'd have known what the fuck I'm talking about. But you didn't.
Or
to play your Dawn of War.
Know what you were talking about.
Yeah, well, you know what's going to happen when we get around to my games? I'll actually be able to explain Dawn of War.
Oh, I'd love to be able to explain. I can't. Oh, God, play the fucking game. And then come back and explain it. Seriously. Play it and then come back and explain it. You can do a good job of this. I know you can. Better than I can.
I just.
But I want you to get to that point so that when you come back and say, okay, I'm going to explain this, but. Yeah, I probably gave him too much shit.
No, I'm not giving you shit about not being able to explain it. I'm giving you shit about, like, Jeremy was like, you know, this question. And you're like, no. And then, like, a minute later, you're like, this thing. And Jeremy's like, well, that was the answer to my question. And you're like, no. It's awesome. Which is, of course, why we laugh.
I know, and I'm trying really hard to actually explain it.
I know.
As best I can.
I know.
It's very tough for a game like this.
I told you why you can't. It's okay. It's too late to fix that problem.
But I want to try.
I will totally try the game.
I will totally come over to your house.
Where's my... Hang on, I got my wallet with me. I'll pay you $5 right now to go buy it.
All right.
I will give you the $5. Save my sanity in the shit. He can come over. You obviously can't.
Yeah. Oh, I can. It's just a long
shit,
drive.
Can you break a 10?
Yeah, it's $5. Don't worry about it.
I'll get the 10 broken next time we do a show. Right. I'll give you the 5.
Tell you, if I hate it, you can pay me $5.
Oh, you'll hate it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you'll hate it. There's not a lot of people liking this. Well, no, I take that back. I'm only going on the forums, and one of the guys jumped in the thread. Said, so what is this? So somebody asked, what's the gameplay? And like pretty much everything we just said, you just stretch, report, and do it over again. That's
it. I'm sorry. I know I've been picking on you a lot.
Go ahead.
But you just told everybody if you got $5, you have to buy this game.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, oh, yeah, you're going to hate it. In fact, I'll give you back.
Because it really doesn't make
sense. Nobody really likes this.
Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I don't even know if you'd qualify it as a game. You know?
Yeah.
Flower was a lot like that. Like, one level seemed to represent what games are,
mm-hmm.
You know, having...
It just sounded like, at the beginning, like you were endorsing the shit out of it.
So. No. I'm endorsing the fact... Well, I'm not...
It's good to have...
I think he's nervous about his endorsement.
No, it's a crazy fucking game.
You need Vince.
It's crazy, yeah. Vince would help me in this.
You'll love my nuts.
You're going to love my stretching. Yeah, I don't know. So, by the way, when you break boy, when boy breaks apart...
Yes.
You have to eat your own butt.
Awesome.
To get it to go, because just like a snake, like when you stretch them out, if you eat something, you see it travel down your body all the way to your butt, and it just stays there until you hit the R2 button, and he poops it out.
That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah. So there.
No, that's fine.
So that's what you did.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like I was eating in the last couple of days. So.
But yeah.
Next, you guys go. Fuck you guys. Just go. My part of the show is done.
You pretty much just played Puke Your Guts Up, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that started on Monday. So, and I have a really bad understanding of the last several days.
Okay.
It's all been sort of like fever dreams and like really too much television, you know,
mm-hmm.
which makes me very uncomfortable. And I just like couldn't even like I haven't even been vertical. Like I haven't even sitting up. So there's been no navigation of web pages or anything like that for news. So I'm still kind of like in last weekend. It's still basically like Monday for me in my head. So I like cannot speak intelligently about anything that's happened.
All right.
Since Monday. I know that I had basically two like really great experiences over the weekend. One was I finally sat down and installed Dawn of War 2. And I'm the lucky half, I suppose, of the people who were interested in Dawn of War 2. There are the half who were very excited after having played Dawn of War.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who like, you know, these same people who like real-time strategy games. These are not happy people.
Ah.
These people who have picked up Dawn of War 2, for the most part. Largely because this is like shit for RTS. Like, this is not an RTS.
Okay.
It is, there's a little bit of RTS in there. It's kind of RTS type of maps.
Okay.
To some degree. And the maps, I think, in general, at the end of the day, will work out to have been the weakest element of this game. Mm-hmm. But this is... There have been a lot of apt descriptions, but I think the one that most people can connect with is that it's Diablo with squads. You know?
Say
it's like
again?
Diablo with squads.
Oh, okay.
You've got...
Ah.
Instead of, like, you know, one hero unit running a whole army, you have a somewhat, at least to the point where I'm at, somewhat pointless hero unit. And then, like, basically all these, you know, all these dudes. And I know there have been other games of this type before, so it's not like it's totally new territory. But you've got your guys, and you have a handful of squads, and each squad is relatively specialized. And you find loot, you level up, you earn new abilities. You know, you choose four of your six squads for each little engagement.
Mm-hmm.
That you want to deal with, and you go out there and you whoop ass on a map for an hour, fight a boss, get kicked around a little bit, figure his tactics, beat him, rinse, repeat. And then the rinse, repeat, that's the real problem with the game. But it's lush, it's like, it's an extraordinarily, it's really comfortable with its own lore. It's really comfortable with, like, the 40K universe. Like, it's really there. It's really in all of that, both in art and to whatever degree in storytelling and everything. But simply put, it's pretty much pick up and play. It's easy to figure out. It's none of that sort of... I'm not good at RTS games, and I don't like them enough to become good at them.
Mm-hmm.
I find that my mistakes only become apparent at the very end of the end game, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, I have to rewind through all of my actions to figure out what I'm doing wrong. And I have to learn through those stages. It's just not what I want to do in a video game. It's not exactly what I want to do. This is a little more fun. The RPG elements are a really nice add, and I like it. But it's a big change from the first Dawn of War, and it's made a lot of people mad. I understand. I'm very sorry. I actually like it quite a bit. It's extremely accessible. It's not very hard. And sometimes it's what I need, and it's certainly what I wanted. So,
well, cool.
I'm happy I picked it up. I have no interest in the adversarial multiplayer, but I would very much like to try the cooperative multiplayer.
Yeah.
The games for Windows Live interface, notwithstanding. But I would like to play it. I would like to try it out. Seems very interesting, and I've enjoyed it a great deal. And the other thing was... I've tried so hard... I've tried really, really, really hard to like Team Fortress 2. And I think I've decided that I just don't like that game.
Really?
I checked Steam this week, and it said, James has dumped the... Fishbang has done whatever. And I thought, he's playing Team Fortress 2.
I do it every now and then, and I really try. And it's... I know that I'm just not getting it. I know that, like, my skills just aren't gelling. I know that it's very class-centric and kind of class-dependent. But mm-hmm. I've also realized that that's not anything like what I want out of my first-person shooter. I like the very... I don't want to say that we're all the lowest common denominator, but there is a reason why I personally enjoy the Call of Duty gameplay so much. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the fact that, you know... There's a reason why you can prestige and still be good. Because, yeah, oh god, I'm a rank 1 and I've got this M16, you know, and like, that's crap, I want the P90, and this is crap, I want this other gun, you know, all this other stuff. But really, when you get down to it, like, once you know the map and you know the way the game works,
mm-hmm.
you know, this one thing is essentially as good as anything else. I like when it just becomes map knowledge, you know, weapon knowledge and sort of understanding of the game, and everybody's still on a real even footing, more or less. And I don't really feel that out of Team Fortress. And I've played on a handful of servers where people were chatty and nice and willing to, like, sort of help you get what's happening. But there's unlocks to consider, which I don't particularly care for the way that those unlocks work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who've just played it and are far better. And I just can't. simply put, I can't seem to kill anybody. I hit people all the time. I shoot them with things. Even though, like, really what I want is to, I want to run around with a fucking submachine gun or something. Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing like that in that game. You know, your entry-level soldier guy has, you know, a shotgun and a rocket launcher. Well, a shotgun's close range. It's immediate, but it's close range. Mm-hmm. And the rocket launcher necessarily has this, like, really terrible interval, you know? And it's sometimes, I think, is a fun thing to play with, but it's not what I want to play. So I just very frustrated with it, mostly because I know so many people who play it, and I really want to play it and enjoy it, but I don't. I die so fast all the time, and I don't kill anybody. It just pisses me off. And I'm generally pretty decent at first-person shooters. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not great, but I'm pretty good at them. And I can't make whatever leap has to be made to be any good at Team Fortress. You know, I was excited every time an update comes out. I'm like, ah, I'll get in there, and I'll play it, and I'll get it this time. You know, and I don't. But I did find a couple of... one of them, I think, is one I used to haunt a long time ago, but I jumped back into Deo Defeat and found, I think, one of the old servers I used to play on.
Oh, really?
Which is, like, you know, no weird sound files, no, like, bullshit maps that some 12-year-old made at home. Like, no weird shit like that. Like, relatively stock stuff run by, like, a bunch of grown-up guys mm-hmm. who really love to ban people who fuck up the scenario, you know? I was like, wow, this is... It's quite good. I can, like, pop in. I can do a map. I can leave, and I can go do something else. I can come right back, and it's great. And, like, it's what I missed about that game, so.
Where's Day of Defeat 2?
I don't know. There is no reason for there to be one at the moment.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it's still a really good...
Yeah,
really good game. I mean, you know, to be fair, like... Day of Defeat and Team Fortress weren't exactly...
No, I understand
they,
that.
Weren't,
yeah.
They weren't peers at the time. Now, what we need is, like, proper firearms. I know, obviously you didn't play it. I don't think you played that either.
Now, I remember you talking
Kevin
about it.
Kevin and I used to play that a lot.
I never played it with you.
What Team Fortress 2 was originally supposed to be, which is absolutely nothing like what Team Fortress 2 is,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that was already done by the firearms mod for the original Half-Life, which was really great. That was a really great time, because that's where Day of Defeat came out.
Right.
Where that was originally, and it was like, what, 9 years ago, I guess? 10 years ago. I mean, those are basically the only two things I really did. I played around with the Empire Total War demo.
Yeah, how was that?
Good, pretty, you know.
What's in it?
Huh?
What's in it?
Did
you get the ship battle?
There's one naval battle, and there's one land battle.
Yeah.
One naval battle where you're the French at, can't remember where, it sort of disappointed me.
I was going to say, I just like the naval battle, but
No, I just didn't want to be the French.
Oh, you disappointed, okay, gotcha.
I wanted to shoot the French. No, it's good, I mean, the naval combat is good. It's not, you know, it's another aspect of this game. It looks freaking gorgeous, but it's totally, totally good, totally serviceable. Totally excellent, and I am completely excited about playing it when it happens. And, you know, for what it's worth, I'm actually quite happy, because I had, like, theoretically two RTSs, one on top of the mm-hmm. other. And, you know, for one of them to not even really be an RTS makes it a little bit easier to deal with something that really is an RTS.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I liked that. That was good and fun.
Good, because I was supposed to come over there and watch play that, too, but that fell through.
Well, I had a lot of trouble getting the demo. Remember? I was supposed to be able to download the demo, and you were going to come over and play it, because it went live on Steam.
Right.
But it took me, like...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A really
yeah, yeah.
long time to get...
I called you on the way home from work. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I called you, and I was like, hey, well, I've been waiting for an hour, and it's still downloading.
Evidently, Steam was getting, like, really hammered between, like, Dawn of War and that download and then some other stuff. I don't know. So... Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot of stuff that I got to personally do, but...
Hey, Jeremy, what'd you play?
I played a couple things. I played Street Fighter 4, because I managed to pick that up at Best Buy.
How'd you like it?
Man, I really, really enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah. I got home and I'm you know, blabbing to Becky the whole time about Street Fighter and like when I used to play Street Fighter and what I'm expecting from playing Street Fighter and one of my favorites, you know, when people would come into the old shop and be like, "Oh man, Street Fighter, I was the best at Street Fighter. Nobody could beat me at Street Fighter. You wanna play me some Street Fighter? Are you any good?"
I'm fascinated by the number of people who apparently can't be beat at Street Fighter.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd be like, "Ah, it's been a long time since, you know, I really played or anything. I'll play.
Wanna put some money on it?"
And then, you know, they'd play and I would consistently beat them without really trying very hard. "Oh man, it's just been so long since I played. Let's play another one, I'll beat you."
Did it matter the character you picked, or was there a certain one that you always went with?
I typically, you know, do the Ken Ryu thing, but really for most of those guys it probably wouldn't have mattered who I picked. I mean, I'm not great by any means, but these guys, apparently the guys who brag a lot about it, are pretty bad. So they probably beat like their, you know, little brother back in the day or something all the time.
Oh, I just go two player and leave the other controller alone.
Yeah. Well, so I get home and
I win again.
I fire up single player mode because, you know, I figure if I get online, most people have been playing the fighting and super.
The one time I looked at you, you had your challenge requests off.
Yeah. Well, the first time I turned it on because I was like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
See how that works. And like before I even get into the first fight, like a new challenger has appeared, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And like it felt kind of like I was back at the arcade, somebody put the quarter in. And then the guy comes on and whips my ass pretty bad, kind of like I expected. And after about the fourth or fifth time, like that happened, and I'd keep playing them, you know, even though they were whipping my ass, I'd keep continue until they got tired because I was getting better fighting them. And I knew if I played the computer, I was just going to whip the shit out of computer. And it's a different play style playing the computer and playing a person. So I was kind of like getting my chops back playing real people. And I was getting a little better. Matches were getting closer and closer. But finally, I was like, you know what? This is it. I need to just do single player for a bit. But before I did that, I turned it off, went to bed, realized, holy shit, it's 4 in the morning. How the fuck did that happen?
When was this? What day?
This is the first night I got it. I don't remember what day it was.
Did you have to go to work tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, it was awful.
Holy shit.
I thought it was like 1:30, maybe 2, and it's 4 o'clock. So,
oh, my God.
So obviously I enjoyed it. So the next day, I get home. I popped it in, and it's like... I guess I got home kind of early, because it was around 4 o'clock. Becky must have gotten off early, so I left early. So I get home, pop the game in, and I start to play, and man, my thumb is sore as fuck. And it's only been like, it's been 12 hours since I played, and it's red, and it hurts to push the D-pad. I'm like, this D-pad sucks.
You know what hurt me after playing just for 2 hours with my trigger finger?
Yeah?
Yeah, because I was just, you know, I was spamming that move, whatever move it was. Just what is the trigger? The high kick?
I remap all my stuff.
Oh, you remap shit. Well, never mind then.
Yeah, I don't put hard kick and hard punch on the triggers. That's awful. I put that on the face buttons. Low kick and hard kick, because I rarely use medium of anything. I either want to do it light and quick or hard for impact. Medium, you know, we're at war. Choose a side. But I did have the, all three kick buttons and all three punch buttons mapped to the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd use those occasionally. But anyway, like, getting back to the thing, like, I got kind of curious. I was like, you know, just pressing the D-pad a little bit was hurting the fuck out of my thumb at this point. So out of curiosity, I picked up the PlayStation controller and moved my thumb around on the D-pad a little bit. And it still kind of hurt, but only about a tenth as much as it did on the 360 D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
So... I got to get a different controller for that game. And what I've ended up doing is I switch now between the analog stick and the D-pad. The analog stick for most of my, you know, normal stuff. But if I have to do some kind of complex like a dragon punch that I just can't do on the analog stick, I switch over to the D-pad real quick. Not very efficient, but it saves my thumb a lot of wear and tear. So
it's been a long time since...
When did you get it?
I don't remember the day.
Okay.
I know it was during the week.
Did you have it for your Wednesday hoedown with the people?
I mean, I had it yesterday when people came over. I didn't have it last Wednesday, so I must have gotten it on a Thursday.
Okay.
Because that would explain why I went to work on Friday. Yeah, it would have been on Friday if I got it last week, and I got to play some on the weekend. So yeah, I got it Thursday night That's when I got it. So yeah, and then I got back online, and Aniako was on.
Coop,
yeah, Coop, and played Coop some, and sorry, Coop. I beat him a lot.
You were pleased with it, though.
I was.
You got guys unlocked and everything?
I only unlocked one character.
Who'd you unlock?
Sakura. Oh, and I only unlocked her because Coop told me, like, you know, oh, well, you beat it with Ryu and you get her. I was like, okay. I haven't looked up how to unlock anybody yet.
I unlocked
Cammy.
Apparently,
it's, like, mildly
how.
Arcane for some of the unlocks. I mean, not, like, a huge deal, but just, like, it's not as simple as beat with just this guy and unlock this other guy. It's apparently there's slightly more to it than that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what any of the others are. I've beaten the single player, the arcade mode, with Ken and Ryu, and I didn't get it, Jack, for beating it with Ken. I got a character for Ryu.
What was the difficulty?
Medium.
Medium.
Yeah.
I played on... They've got a couple of different... What is? I don't. I guess medium, hard, and extreme, probably, but...
It goes like medium, hard, harder, hardest, something.
Yeah, because there is... Yeah. There's easiest, or something like that. Very easy.
Yeah.
Really, emphasis.
Yeah. Very, really.
Really easy. And that's what I play on.
Okay.
So,
the first thing I noticed, though, when I started playing was as soon as I started moving around and kicking and jumping and stuff, the fluidity of the animation threw me. It's like, whoa, the timing's all weird. And I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get used to it. But really, in just about 2 minutes, I got accustomed to it and acclimated. But it was really strange, having been so used to Street Fighter being this, you know, 2D sprite based, you press a button and instantly they go into their kick pose or whatever, to watch them perform the move.
Uh-huh.
It was had to get past the strangeness of that. But I love it. It's really not all that different gameplay wise from the later Street Fighter 2 games. So,
Did you play anything else?
Space Invaders. A lot of Space Invaders.
Yeah?
Because I ended up with Space Invaders tabletop arcade game.
Oh!
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. My ex, like, when they moved into the place that they're just now moving out of, found this thing there. And they said they plugged it up and it didn't work. So now that they're moving, they're like, hey, you want it? Because, you know...
You can make things work that don't work anymore.
Yeah, her boyfriend was going to work on it and never got around to it or whatever. So they're like, hey, if you want it, we're not going to take it with us. And, like I like stuff like that. So I was like, all right, sure. So I got it, and I plugged it in, turned it on. Thing works fine. I suspect that they didn't realize there was a power switch on there that you need to flip to turn it on. But it needed some work. I've done a little bit to it. One of the first things, I noticed was there's no fire button on the second player side, so I've got some buttons on order. I got an email they shipped yesterday, so I'm going to put some new buttons on there.
Well, if you can take some pictures of it and put it on the forums.
That's what people are telling me, that I need to take pictures of my progress and stuff, which I kind of hate that I didn't do before, because one of the things I've already done is the metal legs on it were rusted as all fuck. They're all flaky and nasty, and I've already sanded the hell out of them. They're nice and smooth now. Mm-hmm. Still got to do a lot of work to them because they're still rusty, but... Want to get all that rust off there and paint it. One thing that I noticed the first night I was playing with it was the front bezel, which is metal, was electrified. It, like, you'd run your finger across it and it would feel kind of tingly. You know, not like a shock, but you're like, this is electricity. There shouldn't be electricity on this. This is where my buttons and controller are, my stick. So. Started looking around, I noticed that the plug was just two plugs, no ground plug on the AC. I was like, wow, that doesn't seem right. It seems like you need a ground. So I was wondering if I need to replace the whole cord, but I didn't have time to look at it. And later I noticed there was a ground wire there, but whoever had owned it before had broken off the ground pin. So I just went and got a new plug, wired that up, and now there's no electricity running through the front.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some other stuff that needs to be done. There's a little bit of color separation in the monitor. It could stand to be degaussed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the color separation, though, I need to replace capacitors. And I don't think I'm really up for replacing capacitors.
Yeah, you should definitely document this. I think it's cool.
All right. So, yeah, I like it. I could wire up a button to do the insert coin thing, but I like putting the coins in to get my credits. And it's encouraged me. I'm gonna haul my old Miss Pac-Man upright out of storage, and have like a little mini arcade in there, in my kitchen area now.
Your kitchen.
Well, it's a big kitchen. It's meant to be, I think, like a kitchen, you know, dining room, maybe den area.
Is the Miss Pac-Man a tabletop?
No, it's not a tabletop. It's an upright.
The Miss Pac-Man tabletop is the one I played so much up when
yeah,
I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. That's something I always wanted.
Yeah. That was good stuff.
I may still end up with one yeah. day. I started like, this inspired me. You know, I'm like, I want to have like a small little arcade.
Ah, shit, you're a collector now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
I want to make a main cabinet one day. In fact, I intended to make a main cabinet out of the tabletop when I didn't think it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But when I plugged it up and it worked, I was like, man, that would be wrong.
Yeah, it would.
To tear apart a working classic machine like this. So, because I'm sure I can find a dead machine somewhere that somebody just needs hauled off.
Yeah.
That could turn into a main cabinet. But I went on eBay and started looking for cabinets that were working, and people were selling like close to here, so I wouldn't have to pay the $300-$400 shipping. Found like several in Birmingham and Atlanta. Somebody selling a Raiden DX. You remember Project Raiden? Top-down shooter.
I know Raiden, yes.
Yeah, that was good. I'd like that. Found somebody selling Revolution X, which, you know.
Yes, I do know.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Aerosmith back then, man. And these were like between $300 and $400 a piece. I'm like, man, you know. Yeah, I can see myself getting into that one day, buying some of those.
Definitely.
We've got a, you know, spare room in the house.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then where are you going to put the kid?
Initially, yeah.
Spare room?
Well, you know,
initially.
Right now,
well, we were going to do that, but well, now see, it's going to be an arcade.
Well, here's my plan, right? We need a 4-bedroom house because, like, got Megan, but, you know, I don't have her all the time, just, you know, when I can have her because, you know, different mom. And then Becky and I are going to have a couple kids, so 4 bedrooms. But when Megan gets a little older, she's not going to, you know, need her own room at Dad's place, and that will become the arcade eventually.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think you need more rooms than that. I have a 4-bedroom house.
Yeah.
One is filled with stuff Dana won't throw away. One is filled with my bed.
Mm-hmm.
One is filled with the consoles because they need their own room. One is filled with the computer because it needs its own room. So clearly, you need more than 4 rooms.
Well, you know, we've got our bedroom, Megan's bedroom, a bedroom full of shit neither one of us have gotten around to throwing away yet, or able to part with yet, and then all the console, and since we use laptops, all that just
right.
resides in the living room, so.
Yeah, I guess that's what most people do,
yeah.
Consoles in the living room. It's very weird to me, I don't do that. But that's okay.
So some of the news from last week, it's a lot to cover, you know.
Just pick a thing, man.
Well, here's the thing that I wanted to pick was, there's two things. First off, it was today where EA decided to say that, oh, you know, the same thing that everybody has said. Games don't have to come out at Christmas in order to sell.
Yeah.
You can release your shit throughout the year,
man,
and
I
it's
am,
fine.
I'm glad somebody finally gets that.
I am. I just, it's, you know...
How long have we been saying
yeah,
this?
Yeah, it's not that it's frustrating, and it's not that I can even, like, really cheer it. It's just like, yes. Like, and it's not even, like, only a couple of visionary people were saying it. I think a small handful of visionary people were saying it 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, seriously, we cannot afford it.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot afford to give your new IPs the attention they want if you insist on releasing them in the fourth quarter. Like... We sometimes can't even tell that your game exists if you release it in the fourth quarter. I'm speaking in a very broad we, of course. I mean, all of us will pay attention to just about everything, whether we play it, buy it, or ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems it's this giant, you know, understeering gargantuan EA thing, you know? like very big and unwieldy, and it like takes them a very, very long time to make, you know, wide left turns, and it's like, yes, like we told you, get ready for a left turn, it's coming up, you know, and they're just very slow, they're too big, you know.
Well, they seem to have gotten there quicker than anybody else has, because I don't know anybody else in the industry that's figured out.
Yeah, but that's the thing, everybody else in the industry, like it was very, it's been obvious for a very long time
mm-hmm.
that you needed to do this. Like, to me, it's been obvious, like, ridiculously obvious since before, years before this recent holiday. It was like, look at how much stuff is out there. Like, why don't you make something else and then sell it over here? Like,
the problem is the publishers. The publishers are only looking at the I don't know what the hell they're looking at. They just, for whatever reason, it's been done this way. We're going to release it. Yeah. If you've got a AAA title, it's going in the Christmas season. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's going in the fall. That's what the publisher said. Developers like, well, it's done. Can we get this out here? Because I want people playing my shit.
But that's, the failure is obviously the publisher, but not just for making that decision. But, okay, they look at numbers. That's great. That's their job. But mm-hmm. I think they should also run, I don't know what their version of a, you know, some kind of simulation would be. Well, run a projection.
The two games
that's
EA.
That's what you want to do. You want to, like look at how other things have done. You already have.
The two games that EA examples. Cited the most were GTA 4.
Yeah.
And now Resident Evil 5
right.
coming out in our spring. You know, again, these AAA titles that, well, I mean, if that was our game, we'd be putting it in the fall because that's where we're going to get our money. Well, obviously, it didn't happen that way. You know, both multi-platform titles.
They have no competition. They have no competition in the same budget range.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
But those are the two games they mentioned.
And they're both multi-platform. Which is good.
Which some people would like to say, yeah, even Metal Gear Solid came out. Well, yeah, that was only one system. Yeah. But they look at two games that came out and did exceptionally well. Well, Resident Evil 5 hasn't. But they just look Capcom saying that we don't care, we're putting it out in March.
They can. This is one of the things that I've mentioned before about how much publishers actually care about pre-order numbers. Mm. This is one of the things that EA can say. They can already look at pre-order numbers for Resident Evil 5.
And say how much it's going to sell, yeah.
So... Yes, it's good. It's good. You've done a very good thing here. Now, sort of reverse course a little bit on this. You know, don't abandon things like Dead Space and...
Actually, in the same story, he confirmed
Dead Space
that
2.
A sequel to Dead Space is
really?
In the works.
Yes. That's good, because that thing was in the shit can briefly. Like, it was dead.
Well, sort of confirmed. He said, the quote is, well, we haven't announced anything yet, but I don't think you take a game that's rated 89 and just go, well, that was a failure.
Yeah.
So...
Well, no, I don't think you would, although it's been done several times in the past. So
yes,
we'll see.
Yes, it has.
They've now evidently learned two of the three important things that we need them to learn in order to help turn stuff around. Thing one, new IPs are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you love sequels, but new IPs let you...
Make sequels.
Two, get out of the fourth quarter release crunch.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. Three... Drop your effing prices.
Which was leading into my two stories I wanted to talk about. Gabe.
Well, before we jump over
Yes.
Just because I know James hasn't, like, read
again,
any
yeah,
quotes
I'm
in this
completely
story.
Unplugged.
Because I'm not, like, really big on reading quotes, you know, on the air anymore, but they were just really good. He says, I think the industry has finally go, wow, we could probably just come out like movies do. Movies launch on Christmas Day, and they launch blockbusters during the summer. And we're now learning that we could probably launch a game at any time, and if it's a good game, it will be well received.
I'm glad you have finally learned that. Or, you know what, and I hate to use that, they are probably to a point where, being as big and unwieldy as they are,
mm-hmm.
when they say learn, what they probably mean is we have finally seen enough evidence to support that point of view.
Yeah.
And that's as generous as I'm willing to be.
Yeah.
But they figured out, basically what he said here is they figured out that in the holiday season there were far too many games, it was too crowded, and that's why their new IPs didn't do as well as they really should have.
And you can correlate that to the increase in success with things like Gamefly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Totally. But yeah, the other story was Gabe Newell was speaking somewhere. Was it the DICE Summit?
Yes.
Yes.
Talk about this.
You and I talked about it sitting eating lunch.
Shit, I can't remember.
That's because we haven't done a show since you and I sat and ate lunch.
I was like, we totally talked about this.
Yes, no, we did.
You and I totally talked about this.
Yeah, just you and I.
Lunch.
Huh?
Oh, never mind.
Chinese.
That's right, Chinese.
Remember, I...
No, yeah. Chinese. Don't worry about
so
it.
So anyway, you asked.
I was thinking that.
So he was at the DICE Summit. This was... Right after the weekend that Left 4 Dead went on sale for,
It was half off.
It was half off, yeah. $25.
Yeah.
On Steam.
And this was only on Steam. There was no
mm-hmm.
there was no retail sales drop. There was no price cut anywhere else. It was entirely on Steam.
And they had a 3,000% increase in sales. from just having the game half price.
Which was good.
Yes.
And it was a game that had already sold fairly well to begin with.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting because not only did he do that, not only did he say, you know, I've got Steam, because, you know, I'm Gabe Newell, and I'm just going to, you know, we're going to cut the price of this game in half for the weekend. That's great, so a lot of people can get it. Also, it was just the setup for my knockdown.
Yes. See, this happened, and everybody was like, wow, that's a great deal on Steam. And then the next, on a Tuesday, he gives this speech.
It ran until Tuesday. It was going to end in the weekend, ran through Monday, and then on Tuesday, he got up there and did his thing.
He got up there, and he's like, so we did this over the weekend, and here's why.
Notice how we sold a bunch of stuff? Yeah, drop your fucking prices. I mean, honestly, it was the gist of...
Really? He said, yeah, on Steam we moved, like, we did a 3,000% sale increase. We could also monitor the people who bought the retail version. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. No
nothing changed.
We know that this was not related to any other, you know, outside factor, because this percent increase was only on Steam, and it was isolated to the fact that, you know, we dropped the price.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes, you can charge a lot of money and maybe try to make more money per unit, or you can drop the price and move a squillion units.
Mm-hmm.
At a much lower price, like, particularly on Steam.
Yeah.
Where a unit is not even a thing. So, it's not a thing on a disc, so I'm just saying, you know, I'm worth all the money in the world. That's basically, like... But I mean, you know...
That was the point, was that, you know, he was attacking these $60 games or whatever, you know.
And it's a tough attack to make.
It is.
That's a very tough attack, because sometimes it's like... Yeah, we talk about this a lot, but like, yes, some, I don't know, by all rights, maybe Fallout should be $200 if Mirror's Edge is $60. You know, I mean, I don't know. I know that that's as slippery a slope as it could possibly be. Like, we all know that, yes, you don't judge the game based on length, but sometimes you do. And like, and rightfully so. You know, sometimes you have a little two-hour little mini-game thing, or you have something like Flower, or something mm-hmm. simple like Nobi Nobi Boy, or something, anything like that. It's obviously, that's not a $60 game. You know, and you have to sort of figure out where that price point is, but price... it just seems so... I don't know, it seems to be so intensely tied to what's happening on a shelf
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Well, and it seems like...
And that doesn't seem like it's very good for
anybody. I think one of the lessons to take away from this is you don't wait until there is just no interest in your game at all to drop the price. You know, you don't squeeze every bit of that $60 out and be like, well, time to drop the price and just clear out the remaining stock.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons they did it while they did.
Yeah.
While they did. It was like, it's still hot. It just was released. How many months did we say it was? How many months ago?
For Left 4 Dead?
Yeah. Just three? Two?
Yeah,
3 months ago it was released? And still did this?
Yeah.
Shit.
You know, you can drop your price to, boost sales. Make a big deal about
yes.
it. You know, we're dropping the prices. Now you can have this for only
this
X amount.
Well, and at the very least, you can take it as him meaning that you need to explore other options.
Mm-hmm.
That there should not be an understood price point. There shouldn't simply be the new game price point. The budget game price point.
Right.
And then, like, the scale of discounts.
You
know?
Right.
Which, yeah, don't get me wrong, you know, $20 Mass Effect.
Sure.
It's very sweet. Especially if it's the new, whatever it is, the Platinum Hits or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The 361 does the two-disc edition for $20. It has all the extra goodies in it and the DLC. Yeah, there you go. $20. It's good. You have price cuts to thank for that. But... I don't know. I think it's a tough attack to make. It's very easy to say... I mean, the easiest of the three is very clearly just release your game at a different time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to convince people to spend money on new IP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tougher thing. Now you're asking them to do something that's very, very serious, which is give it to me for less money.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very tough for them to...
It hasn't been too long ago since they just, you know, raised prices on us by $10 across the board.
Yeah.
They did. They raised, I don't know, you wonder how these things happen. Did all the publishers get together and they're like, all right, we got new systems out there, time for an increase. What are we going up to? $10? Let's do it. Or is just, that's what happens. A game releases, you know, the launch games release at $10 and everybody else just follows suit. You know, it's like, well, we got a game coming out on the 360 or the PS3, and, well, it's got to be $60. That's the, you know, that's the entry price.
You remember Return to Castle Wolfenstein? That came out for the PC?
Yeah, I do.
That was the first standard, mm-hmm. bog-standard, basic retail game. And it was a PC game. I remember it cost $60. Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah.
It was, I played it,
exactly,
but...
That's exactly what we said. Like, Jesus Christ, really? Never I fucking think, pay that for a video game.
I think that's why I didn't buy it. Yeah. Because I never played it.
I remember that.
And, of course, by the time it came down, there was so much other stuff, and it was old. Yeah. You know, then there was already other new stuff coming out.
Was that Spear of Destiny or no?
No, no.
Okay.
God, man, Spear of Destiny was the sequel to
Wolf. That's Wolf 3D. Yeah, I'm thinking Wolf 3D. Never mind.
Wow.
Yeah, this was one of the reboots for that thing. No, I remember that. I think back to that, and I'm like, yeah. It wasn't a console thing, and it wasn't necessarily attached to that cycle of pricing, but it was the first thing I remember just being a normal retail game being that expensive. And that was, I suppose, unjustifiable. Maybe a little more so now. But yes, I think that's the next way to go. But I think it's also important to note that as long as people are printing discs, you know, on fucking plastic and then putting them in boxes and then putting them on a shelf...
You're doing that for a
you're
shit
not. I don't think you're ever going to get people to really, like, really, honestly reconsider their prices.
Yeah.
When clearly Gabe was saying, I don't even have a thing here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a thing. It's not even a thing. I just slash the price on it and move, you know, X number of units. Like, that's a good deal. More than anything, he's obviously saying, why don't you come make games and sell them on my shit over
Put
here.
Put them on Steam, yeah.
So, which, fine by me. Speaking of that thing I said about Mass Effect. There were basically two interesting things about Mass Effect.
Well, the trailer I watched.
Well, you guys care about that, right?
Mass Effect?
Mass Effect.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah. Played it, beat it?
Yeah, yeah.
Played it, not beat it.
You're an asshole.
Shut up.
No, it's all right. You should beat it, though. For the second part of what we're about to say. First part being the trailer, which is like, really? Really? I haven't seen the trailer, no. Well, I mean, it's not like spoiler, because it's fucking trailer.
Okay.
But it's like, I mean, it's a nicely done trailer, but it ends in like this... You know, Commander Shepard status killed in action thing. And it's like, what are you doing? I walked off being all kind of noble and shit at the end of that game. Like, the hell was I killed doing? Like, what the hell?
You know what? It's going to be, you know how that game's going to play out? And I'm saying it now. Probably will be this way. I don't know. It's going to be the old J.J. Abrams method of storytelling. Let's show you the ending at the very beginning, and then you play through all that shit.
Yeah, I mean, they could just be yanking my fucking chain, which, you know, consider it yanked and rattled and, you know, any other way manipulated that you wanted it to be. I'm not saying that, like, Shepard even has to be the main guy. And,
Girl in my case.
Yeah, right, or a girl in my case. Right. The whatever.
Well, they said save your, well, don't
this
get rid
is the,
of your
well, this
yeah,
is the other
yeah,
thing.
That's
all right.
What I was...
This is the other thing that I find very strange. Right? Did I make this news up, or was it a rumor that I took as news? That this is a multi-platform game, I thought. I mean, it's EA owns the thing now. EA doesn't do not multi-platform.
Right.
Like, it's not their bag. Like, and multi-platform would be very good for this game, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who just simply didn't get to play it. It didn't have near enough exposure the first time around, in my opinion, anyway.
Right.
So... But they're being very clear about, like, don't delete your saves. You know, some crossover stuff. And it's like, A, what?
Yeah.
B, like, so you know exactly specifically how to render Shepard's dead body? You know, according to how I... Is that what you're going to do? So you know what armor he's going to be dead in or something? Like, I don't know. B, what does this mean for, you know, like, PlayStation 3 owners?
Yeah, who don't have a save.
I don't know. I'm very curious, but, like, it's okay. I mean, a dead, you know, Commander Shepard in Mass Effect 2 is better than, like, no Commander Shepard in any state of being, because there isn't a Mass Effect 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would rather open the box, you know, and see that the cat is actually a sequel to Mass Effect that contains a dead Commander Shepard. So yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a little weird, and I don't know what that is. I think they're just trying to piss us off. You know, they're just trying to get us all riled up. So we're riled. That's really great. Now give us some more information about it.
Yeah,
because I'm excited.
That's what you're gonna have to wait on. Is the more man? They pushed back the goddamn epilogue DLC for Prince of Persia.
Yes, they did.
What?
It was like a week.
Yeah, it's just a week, but I made room in my GameFly account to have them send it back to me. Which, by the way, high availability. I thought it was going to be a little tough, but no, they got plenty. Yeah. So they sent it to me. I got it this week, ready. I was going to play it tonight, but nope. Got to wait a week.
Sorry.
To figure out what's going on. Yeah, and which brings up a question, and probably one we shouldn't ask right now until the DLC is out and we've played it, but you know. If this is an ending to that game,
uh-huh.
That ended somewhat with a cliffhanger,
uh-huh.
Are we paying for the ending of the game?
Oh, that's a dirty question.
It is. It's one I thought. This freaked me out because I woke up one morning and I said,
You didn't like the ending doesn't mean you're paying for an
ending. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
It had nothing to do with me liking the ending or not. I'm just thinking.
I think it has a lot to do with your point of view on that.
Yeah, but if the ending, if this DLC, and I don't want to say ends the game proper, but yeah, because that's not.
It is your point of view.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
Because the game did end. It had the best ending of anything I've played in a long time.
We could get nothing after this, and I would be completely satisfied.
I'm not.
I see a difference now in the point of view. Because if you're happy with that,
yes.
I want to know what happens.
It's kind of. Think about it like this. Pretend that Back to the Future 2 never happened.
I don't like that. Well.
Because for fucking 6 years, it didn't.
It didn't, I know.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So for all that time, that was the ending to that story. It was a fucking brilliant ending. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant. Like, where we're going, we don't need roads. Come on. That was genius, and everything after that point was, you know, kitschy, but sort of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But that was great. That was good shit. So that shit, we're like... Doc throws that shit down over his eyes.
And then
like,
the fucking car arrives.
Flies right into the screen. That was the ending of Prince of Persia.
All right. I'll take your point of view on that. Yeah. I'll take that. That's good. If he can boil it down into that shit, I am screwed.
Yeah.
If he can play, if he sees Nobi Nobi Boy and then boils it down into something like that, I'll be like, motherfucker. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Is where I'll be.
All you got to do is run to Back to the Future. Scott.
Anything, Back to the Future, Goonies, anything 80s movies.
Now I'm just saying,
related.
Like, when you leave it like that, you know, it's good. That's what made it good. I'm not just saying you can just, like, create a bunch of questions and then don't answer them, and then that makes a good ending. I mean, that's clearly not the case, but, you
know. J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's fine. I still want to see the epilogue. I mean, I really want to see it, but I'm totally satisfied with what's there already.
Yeah.
So, I don't think we're paying for the ending.
Okay, good point.
Paying for a second ending, maybe.
I don't know. See, again, not a question we should ask until after we've got the DLC and played it.
Tough question.
But it was a question that... this is how weird it was. I literally woke up Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up. First thought in my mind was Ubisoft and the DLC. And I said, am I paying for the ending? I woke up. I swear to God, I woke up that morning. That was my first thought. It wasn't, it's hot in this room, or I want some orange juice. It was, am I paying for an ending on the DLC? I don't understand why that came to mind. I wasn't dreaming about it, but that hit me in the head. And I was like, that's interesting. But again, something you have to wait and see after you play the DLC to really ask that question or to get a consensus from the community of what they think about that sort of thing. So, anyway, they got pushed back. Commodore 64 games on the Wii. I know Kevin was Kevin doesn't have a Wii, so it doesn't matter. But it's Commodore 64 related, and I know he loves that shit. So, Lost Planet 2.
They need to change some stuff. But, I'm hoping that's the whole point of the two. I'm hoping.
Well, they seem to have gotten rid of the snow.
That's not the stuff that needed changing.
They seem to have gotten rid of the... You weren't always fighting bugs in Lost Planet 1, were you?
No. That's pointless. That wasn't something that needed changing either. I thought that was perfectly fine. They need to change what happened when I fell down.
Mm-hmm.
They need to kind of just become comfortable with what third/first-person controls on a console really are now. I thought that their approach was really sort of creative, and I kind of liked it.
But it's then a I little realized weird.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah,
that's not something that you have.
That
to
was
do.
A
you
little. Can... That was a little strange maneuvering that guy around the first when I played that demo. Remember, this is the game.
This is the game that visually sold me a 360.
Right, yeah, because you came over, you did not have a 360 at the time. I was like, look, here's what's going on at E3. They're putting it all on my 360.
Yeah.
Look, I can download this. Watch this trailer. Yeah, that's what that was. So, yeah, the sequel to that.
Theoretically with co-op?
Actually, no, that was announced. 4-player co-op.
I'm not sure I believe their... I don't have a lot of faith in their sentence structure. Nobody said... You can play the storyline co-op.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Another good point, yes.
People are very cagey sometimes
they are.
About what the co-op actually is.
Can we play co-op? Yes, there's co-op in this game.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. It's wonderful.
You can tackle these enemies and scenarios in co-op. And it's like, yes, but can I play the game co-op?
Can I play the story? I want to play the single-player campaign, but co-op. I guess if you want to call it
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes they don't like to answer that question.
They do not.
And they're very cagey about it. And I was like,
who was the last person that got away with that?
What?
Saying, hey, there's co-op in our game.
Yes.
Only if you play these couple of missions. Who was the last person that got away with that?
Not exactly that, but Peter Molyneux lied his breeches off.
His breeches?
Yeah.
Yes, you can play co-op. It's great. You can play co-op.
Mm-mm,
you can't. Yeah, that's the one we really got upset over. Because it was weird, because I remember that.
I meant that you could sort of connect to your friend's game, and then, you know, if what you wanted to do was scream, you could do that.
The first news we got on that was like, well, co-op's not going to be in the game. It'll be added in a patch later. And then they said, nope, it'll be in the game. And then we realized, nope, it's not actually the way you ever thought it was going to be. I fucking hate it when that happens.
I mean, I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the videos, and it looks very, you know, what it is. And that's great. I'm sort of excited about the idea, but I think pretty much everybody was either lukewarm or hateful towards Lost Planet.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
I was in the lukewarm category, but...
That was our first giveaway, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
Autographed copy of Lost Planet. That was our very first giveaway.
Yeah.
Good news for James. I have not played the first, but the Riddick game.
Yeah, the Dark Athena.
April 7th.
That's actually coming with Escape from Butcher Bay.
Yeah,
that's like some good stuff.
That's great stuff.
Like that together, you should buy that even for Butcher Bay. Butcher Bay was like,
well, because I never played Butcher Bay.
It was.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking solid.
Yeah, I heard nothing but amazing and great and wonderful things about it.
Really good. And strangely, you know, the gaming press says good things about it. And, like, you hear people talking about how great it was, but it was one of those things that...
It didn't sell well.
It didn't sell, and, like, the great majority of people don't really have any appreciation for it at all. It just didn't somehow connect with the game. Not that they hated it, they just didn't ever have, for whatever reason, never put the game in their drive. Like, and it was really good, and it looked really good at the time. It was very fun.
So good news for you on that. Bad news for you in the fact that it looks like it was confirmed.
Only bad news.
Oh no, that was not. That was not. It's the other one.
Ha! See,
that's good. Right. Aliens RPG was canceled.
Well, not that's not the, good.
Not yeah, but not yeah. the. Colonial Marines.
Well, whatever.
Which I totally misread. When I saw that headline and saw Aliens, I just thought, oh crap, he's going to hate
no,
this.
No, I mean,
but it was the RPG. Yeah, it wasn't the...
Well, yeah. It's still not good.
Right. But yeah, so that's about it. The only news that... some of the news we got today was Sam and Max. The first two seasons are coming to Xbox Live Arcade. That'll be great.
Do you plan on playing this?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Good.
I do. I mean, I've enjoyed what they put in that same vein, I guess, with Penny Arcade adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, doing that sort of thing. Now, these episodes will come out. Season one, you can play all the episodes at one time if you want to. You have to buy. You have to wait for the episodic content to be released. It's all going to be there. So, yeah, it was kind of nice to test that, I guess, on Penny Arcade Adventures to see how that whole... How does this work when you're not... When you don't have a mouse, mm-hmm. you know, and keyboard and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I look forward to that. Love those two characters, Sam and Max.
Great.
So, yeah, there you go. I don't want to say that sums it up because I think there's still a lot out there, but...
Still stuff, but, you know...
I'm hungry.
And I'm really not.
And you're not. So yeah, I guess that'll wrap it up. We got Killzone 2 tomorrow. We've got Halo Wars.
And it could be like a really decent weekend, you know, for anybody out there who, you know, still bothers to go the pre-order route. Surely you've heard from Ashley up at GameStop by now. That like perky robot bitch that calls you from the number you've never seen, so you don't actually answer the phone, and then you're really startled. You know,
mm-hmm.
like at the whoa, hey, thank God, you're really excited about my Killzone.
Hi, this is Ashley.
Okay.
Hey, Ashley from GameStop. Oh,
okay, hey. I get it. Yeah. So I can go up there tomorrow and get my game. Okay.
Do you remember the first time that was ever pulled for you?
No.
I don't remember. I don't necessarily remember exactly the first time, but when it happened, I thought, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then it started happening every... It got too much, and I was like, oh, phone would ring, and then I'd be like, oh, I know who that is.
Well, like, I remember when Jeremy and I worked at GameStop, like, or not GameStop, but Software
Etc. Software Etc., yeah.
10 years ago, like, we had to do the calls.
Yep, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, like, we had, like, this shitty little tin, like, the kind of thing, I kid you not, it was, like, the kind of thing your grandma would keep recipes in.
Mm-hmm.
With like all of these aged little 3x5 cards,
right?
And that's where we like stuffed everybody's little thing. And
you have to
like,
yeah,
you have to like pull that shit out and like fucking go through it. And like,
I remember when I'd come in
and sit there all morning.
I remember when I would come in and ask about a pre-order, and they would pull out that box and open it up and say, "What's your last name?" That's not you. Did you pre-order? Oh, hey, here's your card.
Yeah.
With all your little pre-orders that you've made on it. Pins scratched through stuff that you've moved shit around on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot about that. Damn, that's right. It's weird how quickly we forget that,
you know,
automation wasn't around forever.
No. I don't know. So, yes, just to make Ashley shut up, I'm going to go get my copy of Killzone tomorrow.
Yeah, Killzone 2 and Halo Wars comes out this weekend.
Well, Halo Wars comes out the 3rd.
I remember one game doing the calls and the pre-orders. I want to say it was Soul Reaver, where there was a pre-order in there that had been there for, like, I don't know, something ridiculous. Two and a half years?
Yeah.
You know, because the guy had pre-ordered it back when the shit had been...
Like, first announced or something.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, delayed and delayed and delayed and...
The $5 just disappeared.
Yeah. So, yeah. That'll do it. Sorry it's only one episode, but James...
Yeah, it's totally my fault, or like those eggs, or something. God, if I have no idea what it is. I don't know.
But you look through your puke just to try and figure out what it was.
I was really worried about having to, like... I'm like, I'm going to need somebody to, like, Dr. House this shit pretty soon, because I don't understand, like, why the fuck this is happening. Because, like, it was, like, this really, really weird set of symptoms. And I'd never had, you know, quote-unquote food poisoning before. So, this is very, very interesting to me. So, I was, like, documenting shit, and I was like, okay, this is how I feel. This is how this other thing feels. And this is how long it took for this to go wrong. This is what I puked up the first time.
In case you were going to have to tell anybody about this shit.
So, it's just...
Which the listeners get to do.
Sorry.
No.
I'm sure somebody out there has kind of felt the same way before, but regardless, it's my fault entirely.
So, yeah. And,
next week, though, swear to God. Two shows.
Yeah, we'll give you two shows next week. Don't forget, if you want to email us, you can, everyone at ingamechat.net, or head over to the forums at colonyofgamers.com and talk to us there if you want to as well. So I guess that'll about wrap it up. Anything else?
No. Yes, but no. You know how it goes.
Right.